Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Mark Grody and Alyssa Bergamini on 670 The Score.
Yeah, you could say that, or you could say Bergs and Mark, Mark and Bergs.
Grody and Bergs.
Grody and Bergs.
You come first.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. I have done, Alyssa, every manifestation possible at this radio station. I have led shows. I have my show. My name has come first. My name has come last. My name has not come, so I am comfortable in all forms and fashions.
Okay.
So while I appreciate that. It's very nice of you to say that my name should be first as the elder statesman of this particular duo that's happening now on the Score. But it doesn't have to be. But it does have to be Bergs.
And it's got to be Bergs. You call me Bergs.
I call you Bergs because you should be called Bergs.
Only a few people do. Really? I said this 10 minutes ago.
Yep.
You're one of them. Annie Constable, who covers the Chicago Sky.
Oh, Const.
She has called me that since college.
Wow.
And she didn't even know that that was kind of my dad's nickname, too, growing up, which is Bergie, Bergs.
Okay.
So it's just like the cool kids that call me that.
Do you not like Bergs?
No, I love it.
Okay.
It just no one else really calls me it. It's just that, Alyssa.
That's kind of an upset to me. No, I get it, because you're very much an Alyssa,
too.
Yes. I don't know what, we can kind of ascribe names to people.
Yes, sometimes
people
I do that look like their name.
You look like I would expect an Alyssa to look like.
I love that. My mom's going to be so proud that she named me the right name.
She did.
And my dad, of course.
Absolutely right. Spot on to Mrs. Bergs. You got the Alyssa part right.
Yep,
although,
we nailed it.
Being that you are in sports and many times the jocular demeanors like kind of requires that we have nicknames, and Bergs is just way too perfect to waste. So I would like
to
put the word out there, but I don't know, like when you're like as a media member, and she is Alyssa Bergamini, host of the Chicago White Sox. She is the Bulls pre and post game host right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I am Mark Grody. We are here with you until 9 o'clock. Phone lines are open right now. Open those phone lines over there, Tyler Farengol. We appreciate you
man. Give us a call.
312-644-6767. Being that we already just established that you're a good Alyssa, like that's a good name for you. Do you, and clearly you like the
I'm
name
so happy about
and
that.
Love your mother.
Yeah.
Do you, and respect all that. Do you, would you, could you handle all of a sudden everybody calling you Bergs as opposed to Alyssa? Okay.
It might be a whole new personality trait. I could maybe pivot a little bit.
Okay.
It's got some like oomph to it.
You have to decide in your life, like what is best for you,
this
Alyssa.
Is true.
What is best for you, to be Alyssa or to be Bergs?
What do you like, Mark or Grody?
Oh, wow. That's a great, people are pretty quick to be comfortable in calling me Grody, which I like. I actually like that. I like the fact, because I like to put comfort out there, you know, with people, like when I meet people and things like that. So I like it. Like some people are like, does that guy just call you Grody? Like, didn't you just meet him last week?
Yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes I would think about, is it disrespectful? No, I'm like, no, they feel comfortable with me. So I guess I dig the Grody. Yeah, I don't need the Mark portion of Mark Grody.
Okay.
The Grody portion is the more important
part.
We're
set with that. Well, I just know that today it's going to be the Grody and Berg show. That's what we are calling this.
Grody and Bergs.
July 1st, 2024. This is the show name.
This is it. And like we said, we only get a couple chances a year. So
this is our time.
We should not waste any more time.
I circled this on the calendar. I had it written on my refrigerator.
Oh, man. We've been working out together.
I have multiple planners going on. And I, you know, this was the date I was looking forward to. I actually can't believe it's July.
I know
you don't want to hear that, because I know that you mentioned July 19th.
Yeah.
Bears in full action
Which I'm...
So we're not going to wish away time. I just cannot believe it's already July.
Yeah, because you're like, how's your summer going? And when we were talking,
I asked Mark, Grody. I was like, how's your summer? He's like, oh, we're just getting started.
Yes.
Here I am, like a half of a baseball season in. I'm like, I'm already thinking fall.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she broke the news to me that it is damn July.
I know. I hate to do that. I base everything off of the seasons that I'm working. So when it's baseball, when it's all-star break, I'm like, that's halfway through. And then for basketball, when that's all-star break in February, which is kind of a weird time when you think about it, that's not really halfway through. That's way more than halfway through the season. But I'm like, okay, there's like two more months of the regular season. So I really base my life off of the breaks of the teams I'm working for.
That's so spot on. And
it's kind of weird, but it's kind of what I go with.
Especially with baseball.
Yes.
I mean, I did every day home and road with baseball for 3 years of my life. It's great, but it is an enormous taking up of your time during that, because you are literally on the road every other week. And if you're doing, even if you're just doing home games, it's a grind, and the calendar is everything in terms of your life, because at some point in time, you got to get out of that and you have to be able to get back to people and to plan the rest of your life. But no, that's a great way. And man, you know, baseball can be a grind, and that's where we are right now, Alyssa/Bergs. We are in a grind on both sides of town.
Yeah.
With
not too pretty either.
Both of our teams at this point questioning their cores or what they're doing philosophically. And Shane Reardon just gave us the bird.
That's his way of saying hello.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
I know. And I typically greet him.
It's so sweet, right?
Yeah. He just got me. Like, we'll pop out at each other and flip the middle finger, but he just got me. Like,
all right. I usually don't do that back to people, but I might have to do that to Shane.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he's left the building. His time is up. We don't need him in the building during the 6 to 9 hours. But this season has been difficult on both sides of town, obviously. And it is the Cubs now 39-46 after a really bad series, quite frankly, against Milwaukee. Anytime you have an opportunity to gain ground or send a message or play better baseball and you absolutely don't, that is a blown series for the Cubs. So losing 2 out of 3, other than the Saturday game, the 5-3 win over Milwaukee, where Justin Steele kind of loses his mind in the dugout in a good way, as we all say. That's the good kind of yelling right there, that he's knocking
them fired up.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about that. It's like seeing Justin Steele do that. I don't know if you saw it live or video. I know you've got your own workplaces that you usually are probably during Cubs games, but Justin Steele goes into that dugout and he's just, you know, yelling at the top of his lungs and obviously saying something to the effect of "wake the bleep up." And I'm looking at the faces of all the players in there, and they're all, the look of all of them is he looking at me?
Yeah.
What the hell? Like, you see guys looking around his son. Are you guys watching this?
Yeah. Like, is that directed towards me?
I see John Maley, who is the assistant hitting coach for the Cubs, who was the guy in 2016 when I was covering the Cubs, so I know John a little bit. I saw him, and he kind of did a 360, like, whoa, you coming at me, man?
Sometimes you need someone. I mean, I shouldn't say sometimes. I think you need someone on your team to light that fire under you.
Oh, absolutely.
And hey, if he's the one yelling at them, I don't know if that's the way that they respond. Everyone responds differently,
guess what? They won that game. I mean, then
that worked.
Ian Happ hits a 2-run homer in the 8th, and the Cubs end up winning that game. So I don't know, who knows if it was causal or correlation with Justin Steele doing what he did. But I will say, somebody needed to do it. Somebody needed to do it, and it turned out that he was the one. I think about this on the Sox when your manager decided to call the Sox effing flat, and he took Pedro Grifol took a lot of grief for that. But I was kind of alone in saying somebody needed to say something.
Right.
Somebody needed to say that it's not okay what's going on with the White Sox. And I don't want to relitigate that, because I get it. The overriding argument on the other side is that Pedro Grifol does not have enough credibility to be calling out his team like that. But Justin Steele does. If there's anybody on either side of town, and certainly with the Cubs and Justin Steele, he has every right to go, considering what he has done for this team over the last 2 years or so now. He has earned that right, and you know, watching that man, that he puts everything into it, and it's not just talk, and even hearing him talk, you could tell he's just all about the grind of baseball. So somebody, Bergs, needed to do something. Was that it?
Didn't translate to Sunday then, because they lost 7-1, correct? And then correct. A grand slam from the Brewers as well?
Yes.
This is not a dig at the Cubs.
No, that is a dig at
this
the Cubs,
Bergs.
This is
just doing our job here. I want to set that record here.
I understand. Right. That's right. I forgot. You come in here with the White Sox disclaimers.
I know. I literally bleed black and white.
What time is Chuck on? Can we move him up perhaps, Tyler?
Chuck and I are on that same page of we're fans and we also work for the team.
Yeah, that's kind
of... So it's a blessing and a curse?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But I'm just stating the facts that the Cubs did lose to the Brewers yesterday, 7-1, and there was a grand slam.
Yeah. And unfortunately,
the fifth in the last eight games too for the Brewers.
Oh, well, they had a grand slam on Friday, I guess.
That would check out. The math would check out there.
Yeah, Tyone gives up the grand slam on Friday. Cubs lose that game 4-2. I had some issues in that. If we're really doing this game by game, and I like that we're doing this right now, Bergs. If we're really doing this right now, that Friday game had some moments. Like the loud part was the Jackson Ashurio home run over Jameson Taillon, that grand slam, of course. But also in that game, just for the hell of it, you had a Pete Crow Armstrong, Ian Happ miscommunication on a pop-up that was freaky. You also, in that same game, that was the game where Cody Bellinger at one point in time forgot how many outs there were. So he's just running around.
Why is this happening a few times this year I've seen?
It has been, and I don't know.
I'm not going to call out Paul DeJong, but he also forgot how many outs.
At the end of the game.
Against the Detroit Tigers. Not too long ago.
Right, and these
they lost.
And also, Bergs, throw in the pot. These are both well-established veteran players who, at this point, you think would be over stuff like that. Where does it fall? Maybe it's bad base coaching on both sides of town. You got to, like, say how many outs there are. Make sure that these guys are aware.
Give the numbers.
Exactly. Look, hey, man, if you're over there at first base and you're talking, you got to always be take two outs. Okay, get your lead right there. Okay, be careful. Don't get too far.
Yeah.
At least maybe this is the way it was in high school baseball, at least. Maybe things
maybe
have
grade
changed.
School baseball as well.
Yeah, they're always talking. Okay, you're doing okay. Little clap of the
hands.
I think
sometimes they're just, like, daydreaming. I'm not really sure, but... If that is your profession, I think you should know how many outs there are.
I think so, but now
especially with runners on base.
I'm thinking about the Sox, and I'm also thinking about Paul DeJong. I can understand where he might lose focus. He's basically been told he's not going to be on this team at the trade deadline. That he might be out of here.
But they lost a game from that.
I know, but they only have 62 losses.
They don't have that many wins.
Aren't they kind of used to the losing?
24 wins, 62 losses.
I think so. Paul DeJong, it's just another damn loss, you know? So Sox are 24-62 right now, Bergs.
I feel it. 16-29 at home, 8-33 on the road.
Oh, my goodness.
I have not seen a lot of fireworks this season, let me tell you.
I didn't even really think of it that way.
Yeah, yeah. I think of it that way a little bit.
Well, then... Yeah, you're the perfect person. I mean, is you are part of your job as fan engagement,
yes. And,
right?
You know, it's not haha funny, but people ask me all the time. They're like, "How are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm honestly fine. Like, my job is great. I control what I can control. That is enhancing the overall fan experience. I have no control over the players, the X's and O's, everything that's happening on the field." Yes, I would like to see more wins, as would everyone else. But that is out of my control. At the end of the day, I get to work at a baseball stadium, the team that I grew up loving. So I have to look at it from that big picture. But from the journalistic side, Alyssa, it's so frustrating. And I would really like to work more than two playoff games. I've been there 11 seasons now. I've worked two playoff games. Damn. And they were fun. I mean, the one that they won that I was at. But... when you have that itch and then when you finally get to see what it could be and there was that window of opportunity and it was closed so fast, I think that's what makes it more frustrating. It's we had it at a point, if you want to say 2021, I think that was the closest. And then just from there, it's been the opposite way. We're going down.
I honestly, I watched all, like, from about the, I'd say the sixth inning on of the White Sox game yesterday. So I saw all.
So you saw two games.
Yeah.
You saw two games yesterday.
Yeah. So I saw all of the overtime. I saw all of the extra innings. And I got to say, it was an interesting game. It was fun to follow.
14 innings.
It was compelling. That's the word that I was looking for right there. But I was thinking about, as I'm kind of, they did a high pan of the stadium, I think it was in the eighth inning or so, when not a big crowd there to begin with, and many of the fans had left by now, and it just had this really lonely feeling to it at that point. And so I started to think about what the hell happened. Like, I don't want, for the White Sox sake, I am still not in the mood to do this rebuild thing again.
It's happening.
But it just made me think of what you had with Jose Abreu and Tim Anderson looking like a budding star, Yoan Moncada at times looking like a star, or the guy that everybody thought every single preseason was going to be a star, Eloy Jimenez looking like a star. Remember the Thanks Cubs game?
Oh, I have a shirt that says Thanks for Eloy.
I bet you do.
Do I need to give that to Goodwill?
Well, see, that's the sad and frustrating part. And the thing I was thinking, Luis Robert. You know, I haven't even gotten around the diamond complete. Lucas Giolito and Dylan Cease coming into their own. I know I'm leaving players out, but you had that was the core that was supposed to work, and the whole thing just came tumbling down. And I'm still, for the sake of the Sox, I'm in no mood because I'm not over that breaking up. And I'm kind of like, okay, like maybe can this regime do this? I don't even know what they're capable of right now. Nobody really does, but it just feels like the previous core should have worked, and it did not.
I like how you said you're not in the mood, because I think a lot of people are not in the mood, me being one of them. That's the best way to put it.
Because you're a good measurement, because you are a Sox fan.
Yeah.
So you're like this. You're not ready for
this.
You
brought up all those players, and that now seems like so long ago that they were on the team, and that was not that long ago.
But and at one point in time, when all of the at their primes, all those guys were really good at some point in time.
Yes.
At one, and I know that there were precipitous falls, like for Eloy Jimenez, like. He's gone. You know what I mean? Like, Eloy is just gone. Like, I don't see him ever being, because of the injuries, I just don't ever see him being a 140 game guy ever in his career again. It's just amazing how, you know, the fast fall, but that wasn't even my point. The point was, at some point in time, all of these guys were like they were teetering between 8 and 10 on that scale of, wow, this could be something. And then they all, for the most part, except for your guy Robert, have become nothings. Nothings.
The amount of White Sox memorabilia I have throughout the years, and everything I have with, whether it's Tim Anderson or Michael Kopech, Dylan Cease, now I'm just like, oh, well, these are old players. They're not even current players, and that was a few years ago.
It's crazy, isn't it? Like,
yes.
There are times when I feel like Yoan Moncada, he's on the White Sox, right?
Yoan Moncada.
He's on the long-term injured list. He feels like a relic from the past. Like, sometimes, oh, man, that's right. The Sox have Yoan. Because doesn't Tim Anderson feel long gone? Just because you sort of, like Tim Anderson is such a sad story relative to sports for the most part, because of how high he, when we talk about all these Sox players at one point in time peaking out at a very high level, there was nobody who had more promise than Tim Anderson in terms of winning batting titles and hitting these gargantuan home runs, these like big game home runs, not volume, obviously. The corn game?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, the
Field of Dreams.
Right.
I was just going to say Field of Greens, because I just went to the golf outing for Field of Greens. And I was like, I know it's not Field of Greens. It's Field of Dreams. See, my mind can't even think that far back. But man, that, you know, the game winning home run.
Oh, yeah. And there was a MLB promotional campaign somewhat based on Tim Anderson, thus changing the game.
Yeah.
Changing the face of the game, changing the way the game is played, whatever that might mean, bat flips and all of that. And now he's kind of a nothing too. Like, in terms of a guy, you're not certainly not going to make him the cornerstone of a team, which is what he looked like he was going to be. So That's what was good. That's how stressful it is to watch White Sox.
Yeah, Tim Anderson is now on the Miami Marlins, and he is just not having that great of a season at all.
Yeah, and that's all of the. And hey, we could do the same exercise too with that last Cubs core. Now, the difference is Cubs got a World Series out of that and made it to the NL. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just listening.
I might be projecting, but I look at Berg's that, how dare I told I you before like, this show started, you start talking about all that Cubs World Series. No, I swear to God, just, Grody.
It's just like how like White Sox, we talk about 2005, Cubs 2016. Yeah. I understand that is more recent.
Right. But that's what I mean. But my point was, I was going to say I had to give the caveat that the Cubs won the World Series, but you could look at all of those guys, those Cubs players.
Anthony Rizzo, spread out. Chris Bryant.
And except for Anthony Rizzo, none of them went out and made big successes of themselves. It's like when the cast of Friends broke up. Were you watching the Joey show? I don't think you were. Or maybe you were. Were you watching his show? Wasn't there a show called Joey?
Yeah, I did not watch that.
Yeah, see, exactly.
I did not.
So we don't
the second seasons of things are sometimes not the best.
Yeah, the spinoffs of the Cubs and the Sox are not working out. So
they're not getting the high ratings.
We got the best of them. Farrengal is telling us that we need to take a break.
Okay, I'll tell you a little secret.
Yeah, we probably should have done that a few minutes ago. We are bringing in Chuck Garfine next. He is the White Sox pre- and post-game host over on NBC Sports Chicago. We'll talk to Chuck about the Sox next on The Score.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
The losing post-game shows are always the most entertaining. We guarantee you this will be more entertaining than the game you just watched.
We're back with more Mark Grody and Alyssa Bergamini on 670 The Score.
Here we are. That was the voice of Chuck Garfine right there. Almost let one slip.
I loved that. I watched that, and I love it even more listening to it back.
I mean, there's been 62 losses this year, and somehow, some way, you have to find a way to talk about them. We do it. Chuck Garfine does it. Ozzie Guillen does it. Scott Podsednik does it. Sometimes Alyssa Bergamini does it. I do it. Hey, I'm Mark Grody. Alyssa and I, Bergs, are here with you until 9 o'clock tonight. We'll get some of your calls a little bit later on at 312-644-6767. But let's bring in the man, Chuck Garfine, anchor and reporter for NBC Sports Chicago. He hosts White Sox Pregame Live and White Sox Postgame Live, where you just heard him right there on his program that he usually performs with the great Ozzie Guillen. Chuckster, so great to have you on, man. How are you, sir?
I'm good, and I'm sorry to disappoint you and all those White Sox fans out there, but when I made that comment that you just played, I didn't mean to say that SH blank game that you just watched. I meant to say show. I was confusing the word game and show because I was promoting the post-game show, and it came out. I mean, you can think I'm lying.
No, I don't.
Totally,
I don't.
We believe you.
I don't.
The last thing I was thinking was to call it a bleeping game. I really just was trying to say show, and I said, no, it's not the show. It's the game. I just mixed it all up, and it came out that way, and it went out viral, and people think I just was ripping on the White Sox that way, but that was not my intention. If you want to feel that way, because I know a lot of people that day were feeling that, but that's not what I was intending to do. It just came across that way.
Chuck, we know that's not your personality because you are professional, and I say this to you every time I see you. I love watching your post-game show, regardless of the wins and losses, and I know we briefly talked about this. The loss, the games when they lose, sometimes your post-game shows, they're better because you have more to talk about and more to discuss. So regardless of what you were saying, you guys are just so entertaining. And Roger Bossard and the post-game show on NBC Sports Chicago are probably the two top things of the season.
We're playing the Bossard card.
I tell Roger every time I see him, I'm like, you're the best part right now.
That's unbelievable. Yeah,
Roger's the face of the franchise. Roger Bossert.
He really is.
It's unbelievable that we're playing the Bossert card. We can't really. No, Chuck, there's enough legitimate times when you have been angry or Ozzy has been angry that you don't need to start making other ones up and making things up about the post-game host saying the SH word when you didn't. I admit it. I just heard that. I thought that that's what you were saying, and we all thought it was kind of hip and cool because I thought to myself, I don't know if I'd want to, you know what? I might let people think that, but I understand, Chuck, the position that you're in, that you don't need to have extra anger added to your resume at this point in covering the White Sox, right?
Right, right. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, we try to be as real as possible on the shows. And the dirty little secret is that the shows after losses, when Ozzy and I are doing them, are better when they lose, because there's just so much you can really dive into as to why they lost the game. However, we want the White Sox to do well. We want the winning postgame shows. We still have good postgame shows, great postgame shows when they win. But it's, you know, when a team like the White Sox When the White Sox are having a season like they're having right now, there are many things to talk about that are not going right. And there's a lot of frustration. And, you know, I also have a relationship with the players and the team, and I have to, but even still, we will tell it like it is. I rarely make things personal. Actually, I never make things personal, but I mean, there have been times, I do 158 of the 162 games. There's going to be times where I'm just going to be just pissed off at something.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I also give these guys a lot of rope. Playing baseball is not easy. But eventually, sometimes I'm going to say something that might ruffle some people's feathers. But I will be in the clubhouse if there's anyone who has a problem with it. And frankly, no one has. No one has really ever said anything to me. But I will say this. The best thing that Pedro Grifol has said, and he said it to me in a conversation that I had with him last year, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, and I've actually said this on the White Sox Talk podcast, so I don't feel it's not the first time I've said this, but the best thing he has said was, it was last year in the middle of the year, and I forgot exactly what was going on with the team, but Ozzy and I were kind of being critical of some of the team and of Pedro's handling of something. I don't know what it was. And so I went to the clubhouse when they came back to town, and I just went up to Pedro and I go, hey, we've been kind of rough on you guys. And I mean, they were way below expectations. I mean, the season was just in the, you know what, in the crapper at this point. And I just said, hey, you know, I just want to let you know that we've been saying this on the air. I'm not sure if you heard it, but I just want to make sure that we're good. And I just want to clear any air. If air needed to be cleared, I wanted to clear it. And he said to me, you have a job to do, and I have a job to do. And it is my job, our job as a team, to change the conversation that you guys are having on your show. It is up to us to do it. And when he said that to me, I'm like, you know what? Respect to you, Pedro Grifol. Yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, like, we can't lie to White Sox fans. We can't say, hey, there's nothing wrong with the team, and while the house is on fire, you know, like you can't say there's nothing to see here when there's a lot of problems. So, you know, we try to be as honest as we can and don't make things personal and just kind of have fun with it as well. And the White Sox have given us a lot of reasons to have a lot of fun and entertain Sox fans, but we'd rather be talking about wins.
Yes. And talk about entertaining. Yesterday, what about ending a 7-game homestand with a 14-inning game? I mean, there were 2 7th-inning stretches played, unfortunately resulting in that loss 5-4 to the Colorado Rockies. Almost had that sweep in the series, but they did take 2 of 3. So, Chuck, what impressed you about that series against the Rockies and those 2 wins that we did see?
Okay, if I'm going to be honest and somewhat sarcastic, my answer would be, what it showed me was that the Rockies really stink.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
Now, that is a Major League Baseball team. That is a team that has the worst pitching staff in baseball, home and away, starter and bullpen. And so the White Sox should have at least taken 2 out of 3 against them. You know, they should have swept them. I mean, they were in position to do it. I think they were 1 for 20 with runners in scoring position yesterday. And that's not going to win baseball games.
No.
And so the White Sox offense is in the gutter. I've never seen an offense this bad with the White Sox in my life. And that is the goal. That is the mission for this front office, is to fix the offense for the future. I'm very excited about so many White Sox pitching prospects. Some have already been here, and Thorpe and Cannon. There's a bunch in Double-A. And if you even go further into Winston-Salem and Kannapolis, I mean, there's like 12 guys that I like watching pitch and will be a part of the future. If they can find some bats for the future, that will make this a lot easier to stomach, because right now it's find a way to lose a game. Again, except for the Rockies, they will find a way to lose many games.
Yeah, yeah, and therein lies some similarities with the, believe it or not, with the Cubs and the Sox this year in terms of, you know, that RISP number, the 1 for 20 that you talked about with runners in scoring position. That's been, the Cubs have been haunted by that as well. But Chuck, where my mind went as soon as you said that, like talking about this is the worst hitting team that you've ever seen, and you've seen a lot, and I know that you, you know, at least growing up, you were a White Sox fan as well. Does this mean then that you shouldn't absolutely not trade Luis Robert? That, because sometimes we talk about it in terms of Robert or Crochet or maybe both going, but that just got the wheel spinning a little bit. Should, if offense is so bad and Luis Robert is so good and so young, should he be off limits in terms of trading?
It really comes down to this. The White Sox, I'm sure, have an asking price. Like, what's it going to take for them to trade Luis Robert Jr.? If someone meets that, trade him. If someone meets that, trade him. I don't think anyone's going to meet that, especially with the way he's been playing, his health history. My feeling is, watching this team every day, and there are scouts from all these contending teams who are watching the White Sox play every day, I can't see a scout watching Robert on a daily basis right now say, we have to have that. Now, if they're looking at Garrett Crochet, I could see scouts saying, we have to have that.
Yeah, we'll take the 11 strikeouts and 0 walks.
The way that he is pitching. And as Bob Nightingale reported, 15 teams have reached out to the White Sox expressing interest in Crochet, not only because he's such a great pitcher, he's also making $800,000 this year. So he's got 2 years left. So you get him for this year and the next 2 years. And there's all these questions about, well, I mean, how many innings is he going to be able to throw? Will teams be interested? Well, teams are very interested in him. He's already thrown 100 innings this year. He's on pace for 190. So he's been throwing about 30 innings a month. If they scale that down to 20 innings a month, he's going to be at about 160 innings. And I feel like that's going to be like around the magic number for him this year. He might throw between 150 and 160. And I could see teams wanting that for whatever it's going to be for whenever they trade for him, and then get him for 2 more years if this ends up happening. So I see it from both sides.
So do you think that we will see Garrett Crochet after the All-Star break? Do you think he's going to be on the South Side or elsewhere? What, just in your personal opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's probably 50-50. Probably 50-50, but if you have 15 teams interested in him, and let's say 5 to 7 of them are really interested in him and have the kind of prospect package that the White Sox would want in return, I mean, it's going to get really interesting, and the White Sox might have a tough decision to make, or tough decisions to make, deciding, you know, what team has the best trade package and whether they should move him or not. And if they don't move him now, I mean, this could come up again in the offseason. And you're probably thinking, like, why are they trading Garrett Crochet? And actually, Ryan McGuffey and I just taped a podcast today that's going to go out tomorrow, our White Sox Talk podcast, going through this entire scenario, which is not just, do you trade Garrett Crochet? If you can extend him, what should the cost of that be? Why the White Sox need hitters? And if well, they do need hitters, but why a return for Garrett Crochet might be the best thing for them, or why they shouldn't trade him. So there's a lot of tough decisions. I'm glad I'm a sportscaster. I'm glad I'm not Chris Getz, because it's a tough call that they're going to have to make.
Yeah, and I know that at least the rough draft plan, or based on some of the things that Jerry Reinsdorf was saying, that they wanted this to rebuild quickly. They had, at that time, still identified some players on the team that you could build around. But unless they change the way they do business and go out and use money and buy players, it just feels like, Chuck, that this could be, you know, a couple. I'm not saying it's going to be, the Sox are going to be 24-62 at this time next year, but doesn't this feel like it's going to be a little while this year and at least next year before there's anything to see with the White Sox in terms of winning?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to predict, but, you know, if a lot of White Sox fans are trying to figure out, like, how did the Sox get into this mess in the first place? And there, I see two things that happened, two big things that happened. One was they made too many big bets on the wrong players. That's Grandal, that's Moncada, that's Jimenez. I mean, right now, Moncada, the way this was planned out, and I like these contracts when they did them. I just guess I didn't know these players enough at the time. But this is supposed to be like peak Yoan Moncada year. Peak,
yes.
Aloy Jimenez.
Yes.
If they are playing at their peaks, this team is right now contending for a division. I mean, literally, I could just keep it at those two guys. If they are what everybody thought they were going to be this year, with just those two guys having those kind of seasons we were expecting, they are contending for a division right now. I really believe that. I mean, a lot of other things would have to happen as well, but like, instead, you have Yoan Moncada is in Arizona rehabbing. And you've got Aloy Jimenez. I don't know what's happened to him.
Yeah.
And
they're just gone.
Healthy.
It feels like they're just gone. Like, they're around. They're almost like ambassadors for the team at this point. Yes. They're around. It's good to see you. Unfortunately, yeah, they're relics of the past now.
Yeah, actually, I want to rephrase what I said. They would not be contending for the division. I wasn't expecting the Guardians to do what they're doing.
That's true.
They would be contending for
a
wild card spot.
Yeah.
Excuse me, because even with those two guys, they're not going to be competing for a division. And then what ended up happening was, okay, so those bets don't work. Well, at least you'll get something from your farm system that's going to help. And what happened was, you look at the 2018 and 2019 drafts. That was when Madrigal and Vaughn were drafted. You can swing and miss at the first-round picks. You hope they don't, and those are big ones for them. You know, Madrigal, we know what happened to him. He's on the Cubs now, and Vaughn is still, you know, finding his way in the major leagues. You can't say that's a bust, but really what hurt them was go all the way down those entire drafts, and they didn't get really much of anything. And those guys, whether you drafted them in high school or college, would be between the ages of 23 and 26. And if you drafted well, you'd have a bunch of those players right now on the major league team helping out. Then you're getting a big zero from that.
Yeah.
So you combine all the players that, you know, they're not even here anymore, like Lucas Giolito and Tim Anderson, and then you didn't get much from the drafts, and then they swung and missed on Moncada and Jimenez, and this is where we're at. This is where they're at.
Yeah, we started the show talking about some of the like that we're not, and it's funny that you bring up that past core of the White Sox, because it just sucks that it didn't work, because it felt good. It felt good in the early stages.
That window was open, and it closed way too fast.
That's exactly right. I'm not ready to even like put my brain into this rebuild, because Bergs, it's like we're not over the last one. It happens. It's over. Like, it sucks to think about. Like, it's over for Eloy Jimenez here. It's over for Yoan Moncada here. You know, it's even Luis Robert and Garrett Crochet are on thin ice with the White Sox right now. It's crazy to think that.
Yeah, we might see them only for, you know, a few more weeks. I'm going to bring this to a bright spot. And Chuck, you brought this up, and I wanted to ask you about this. You mentioned how there are a few guys that you're really excited to see being brought up to the show, make their MLB debut, whether they're in, you know, AAA or AA. Is there one that you could just pinpoint that you're personally just so excited to be brought up, you know, on the White Sox?
I mean, Noah Schultz is Nintendo. Noah Schultz is 20 years old. He's just got called up to AA, I think it was about a month ago. He was the White Sox first-round pick from a couple of years ago. He's a local kid. He's like 6'7". He looks like Randy Johnson out there.
Okay.
And he has like 10-point control. He has he's got just amazing stuff. And they are limiting his pitches, his pitch count, his innings. He's only going 4 innings for every start this year. So they're just building him up because he doesn't have a big, strong base, and they're trying to keep him healthy. I'm really excited about him. I watched a little bit of his game last night against the Cubs double-A team, and, I mean, they could barely touch him.
Huh.
He's always got, like, you know, 7 to 9 strikeouts in 4 innings. And so when's he going to be here? If not 25, certainly 26. But there's a lot of guys in double-A that, like Mason Adams, he was drafted a couple of years ago. He's going to be here this year. Kai Bush was just promoted to triple-A, I think, today. He'll be here this year. Jairo Iriarte, who they got in the Dylan Cease trade. He's got amazing stuff. His upside is like a 1 or a 2, but he's having a little trouble with his command right now, but he's been impressive. So I could go on and on about the pitching. The hitting is, you know, a lot of hit and miss. We haven't seen Colson Montgomery like dominate like we hoped, but that doesn't mean he can't dominate in the future. You know, I can go on and on. I watch a lot of minor league baseball, guys.
We're back at that point. That's where we are.
Yeah. I know. Like, it was around this time last year, I'm like, okay, I better
start paying attention.
My MILB account and start watching minor league baseball because that's where the future is going to be. And this is where this team is at. But, I mean, if you know, I know you're saying, like, oh, rebuild 2.0. There's a lot of. There's a new front office. I know people say, well, Chris Getz was a part of the, you know, he was in the front office before. But, I mean, there's a, you know, the thing about him is that he did see where all the problems were. He did see how things did not work with the past regime. And I do feel like he and this new, the new farm director and Mike Shirley and the scouts, I think they're the line of communication is really, really strong compared to the past. And they know where they messed up.
Yeah.
And it's up to them to fix it. I'm not guaranteeing that they're going to, you know, be able to be a better friend. They'll do a better job than Rick and Kenny, but it's there for the they're in a position to be better than the last rebuild. And I'm liking some of the moves they've made so far.
Chuck, thank you for your time as always. Appreciate it. We'll be watching you on the pregame tomorrow when the White Sox start one up at those Cleveland Guardians that you mentioned a little bit earlier. Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it.
Great talking to you guys. See you soon.
Yep, always. Chuck Garfine, NBC Sports Chicago, pre and post game host.
He knows his stuff.
Yeah, he does. I'm not like, I appreciated the question you asked Chuck about what's going on in the minor leagues, and I even more appreciate that Chuck is watching it and focusing on it. That's the part I'm not ready to do yet. Like, I'm still talking about the past core. I don't know if I'm ready to commit myself to that for the White Sox, but I think eventually I'm going to have to.
Well, you know what? You don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
But that's true, Berks.
That's what Berks. My mom says. We're just giving another shout out to Rhonda.
Your mom, Rhonda. Rhonda.
If you don't want to watch minor league baseball, that's okay, Mark.
Rhonda, look at me. Look at me, Rhonda. Look at me. You are a wise, wise woman, and you have raised a very good Berks. That is very important.
Berks. You've raised you don't got to do anything you don't want to do. It's the motto here.
Tyler Farengol has been here long enough now to actually start to get an angry look
when we
don't take breaks on time. So I'm going to take the break, and then we're going to come back. It is Alyssa Bergamini and me, Mark Grody, with you here on The Score.
We're back with more Mark Grody and Alyssa Bergamini on 670 The Score.
Yes, or let's see, the 229 texting zone says the Bergmeister and Grody.
Love that.
You like a Meister?
I've never been called that.
You never had the Meister added to the end?
Not that I could remember.
It's such a funny thing. Oh, you've never gotten Meistered, eh?
No.
I'm sure I've had the Grotmeister before. That's a funny thing we do, isn't it? Why do we Meister each other?
Just add extra words.
That just sounds strong, like Meister.
Yeah.
What is a Meister? Do we know? Does anybody know what the definition is, actually? Oh, thanks, Hunter.
Hard-hitting things here once again.
Got you. We're for some reason in life, we like to Meister each other. But that was there. What else?
It's a good comment.
Tim, from the A4. When Tim Anderson got into a fight, he had the talent knocked out of him. That's a low blow. Come on.
You can't knock talent out just from that.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, he did get beat up by Jose Ramirez.
I got the definition of Meister for
you. Oh, you do? Okay, yes.
It says denoting a person regarded as skilled or prominent in a specified area of activity.
Okay. Skilled. Congratulations on your Meistering.
We both got our glasses on, so.
It means master in German. You guys are both.
Oh, I'm half German. This works.
Oh, me too.
Oh,
how about that?
Oh, Grota.
If we were in Germany right now, it would be Mark Grota.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Makes me want a beer too.
Right. Yeah. Well, you're the Meister, apparently. Congrats. This is a huge night for Bergamini. We're going to have to celebrate this. You've been Meistered. You said you've never been Meistered before, and being a Meister is apparently a really good thing.
Someone said Meister is German for master. For example, Jägermeister is German for the hunt master.
Okay.
Wow.
2015, 2016, 2017, 3 National League Championship Series, 1 pennant, 1 World Series. That was somebody talking about the Cubs earlier when we were talking about how good that season was and how the Cubs and Sox are not comparable in some ways, that their cores. Because I said that the core of the Cubs, those players, have not done great since they have dispersed, and we are seeing the breaking down almost completely of the White Sox core. None of them are doing well either. I should point out, as another subsequent texter points out, Schwarber has been great. That's true. Isn't Schwarber injured?
Yeah.
He is. So he's not going to be playing tomorrow against the Chicago Cubs. So that's something to keep in mind.
And I feel like he's someone that still gets an applause from the Cubs fans, regardless of being on a different
team. Oh, absolutely. No, look, that guy was some of the stuff that he did was just incredible in terms of how monumental it was. Some of the big hits, just the fact that he was in the World Series at all that year, just because he'd spent time being injured for most of the year. I remember I was there.
It was.
You're the Cubs guy. You are correct. That man will be cheered at Wrigley Field until the day he dies.
Yep.
Baseball coverage, Bergs on the Score, is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still have save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. When we come back, we know that Bergs likes to bet, as is evident in her Bulls broadcast and all her experience on BetQL. And she has taught me a few things through the years. Every once in a while, she tips me off to something. I got a pretty good feeling about the Chicago Cubs tomorrow when they open that series up against the devastatingly good Philadelphia Phillies. So we'll talk about that coming up next. Also around the corner, Elise Menaker from the Marquee Sports Network will join us at 7:25. It is the Meistered Bergamini, along with just me, Mark Grody, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
We're back with more Mark Grody and Alyssa Bergamini on 670 The Score.
Yes, or let's see, the 229 texting zone says the Bergmeister and Grody.
Love that.
You like a Meister?
I've never been called that.
You never had the Meister added to the end.
Not that I could remember.
It's such a funny thing. Oh, you've never gotten Meistered, eh?
No.
I'm sure I've had the Grotmeister before. That's a funny thing we do, isn't it? Why do we Meister each other?
Just add extra words.
Does it just
sound
strong? Like Meister.
Yeah.
What is a Meister? Do we know? Does anybody know what the definition is actually? Oh, thanks.
Hard hitting things here once again.
Got you. We for some reason in life, we like to Meister each other. But that was there. What else?
That's a good comment.
From the A4. When Tim Anderson got into a fight, he had the talent knocked out of him. That's a low blow. Come on.
You can't knock talent out just from that.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, he did get beat up by Jose Ramirez.
I got the definition of Meister for
you. Oh, you do? Okay, yes.
It says denoting a person regarded as skilled or prominent in a specified area of activity.
Okay. Skilled. Congratulations on your Meistering.
We both got our glasses on, so.
It means master in German. You guys are both.
Oh, I'm half German. This works.
Oh, me too.
Oh.
How about that?
Oh, Grota.
If we were in Germany right now, it would be Mark Grota.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Makes on a beer, too.
Right, yeah. Well, you're the Meister, apparently. Congrats. This is a huge night for Bergamini. We're going to have to celebrate this. You've been Meistered. You said you've never been Meistered before, and being a Meister is apparently a really good thing.
Someone said Meister is German for master. For example, Jägermeister is German for the hunt master.
Okay.
Wow.
2015, 2016, 2017, three National League Championship Series, one pennant, one World Series. That was somebody talking about the Cubs earlier when we were talking about how good that season was and how the Cubs and Sox are not comparable in some ways, that their cores. Because I said that the core of the Cubs, those players, have not done great since they have dispersed, and we are seeing the breaking down almost completely of the White Sox core. None of them are doing well either. I should point out, as another subsequent texter points out, Schwarber has been great. That's true. Isn't Schwarber injured?
Yeah.
He is.
10-day
so he's not going to be playing tomorrow against the Chicago Cubs. So that's something to keep in mind.
And I feel like he's someone that still gets an applause from the Cubs fans, regardless of being on a different
team. Oh, absolutely. No, look, that guy was some of the stuff that he did was just incredible in terms of how monumental it was. Some of the big hits, just the fact that he was in the World Series at all that year, just because he'd spent time being injured for most of the year. I remember I was there.
You remember it all.
So you are correct. That man will be cheered at Wrigley Field until the day he dies.
Yep.
Baseball coverage, Bergs on the Score, is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still have save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. When we come back, we know that Bergs likes to bet, as is evident in her Bulls broadcast and all her experience on BetQL, and she has taught me a few things through the years. Every once in a while, she tips me off to something. I got a pretty good feeling about the Chicago Cubs tomorrow when they open that series up against the devastatingly good Philadelphia Phillies. So we'll talk about that coming up next. Also around the corner, Elise Menaker from the Marquee Sports Network will join us at 7:25. It is the Meistered Bergamini, along with just me, Mark Grody, on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.